give me, and I've chewed on for a while. Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6 this evening. Very familiar scriptures to us here with what's going on here in Genesis chapter number 6. But a reminder to us that everything that we're going through, other men have faced even worse than we have. Genesis chapter number 6 this evening. I'm going to read one verse of scripture here in chapter 6, verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ain't it great that you can find grace? Title this evening, Even in the Dark Days, There is Grace. Father, I pray for your help this evening, God. Help me take this message and give it to these that have gathered here this evening to hear from heaven, Father. Lord, I've chewed on this and I've meditated on this scripture for a while. I don't know if I'll do it justice or not, Lord, but I just think of what Lord Noah must have went through himself, God. And Lord, I'm thankful that just 45 minutes down the road, God, we are not alone. We've got others that we can fellowship with. Lord, just 30 minutes up the road from us, God, north of us, we've got people that we can fellowship with. God, we are not alone, God. And even in the dark days, there is grace. And Lord, I just pray that you would take this message. Lord, use it to encourage me, God, and others, Lord, here tonight, whomever may need it. I pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Verse number 1, he says here, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And there's nothing changed, even in the daytime we live in. We may be in a dark day as far as seeing people marry and divorce. There's a man that I'm working around right now. He seems to have a good spirit. He's got a good sounding testimony. He lives between here and in Great Bend. He's unfortunately now he's divorced and living with his girlfriend. And I think how sad that this is, that here it is, somebody that professes to be a Christian has a testimony as far as what God saved him out of. He was talking about how he told me how he was a drunkard and God saved him out of this lifestyle. And so nothing's changed. Here it is, and even in Noah's day, that people were marrying and giving in marriage, and we're seeing it in our day and time. We're seeing not only people giving in marriage and marrying now. You see people say, well, the divorce rate's going down. It is, because now you got so many people just shacking up and living together that they're not even, you don't even see it anymore, because this person shacks up with it, and it's nothing different. I'm not against necessarily against public school. I understand some have to do that, but we chose not to do that. We tell our daughters, you're not dating, you're courting when the time comes. I'm so sick of the drama in schools and even up here in La Crosse, and I love some of these children, and we've got to know some of them. But this week, little Susie's with little Johnny, and next week, little Susie and little Johnny's broke up, and little Johnny's over here with Ruth, and little Susie's over here with Tommy, and it's just nonstop. And then now we wonder why when they get to adults they can't make a relationship work.
We
wonder why. This because we've let them play home and we've let them play dating in school, and then when they get to be adults, what do they do? They continue to do the same thing. And so Noah's is seeing this. He's seeing that the sons of God were given to the daughters of men, that they just chose and they were marrying how they wanted. They took them wives, multiple. And I've always said this, and I still believe it. God may have used men that had multiple wives, but you look at every one of them in the Bible that I know of, and I may be wrong, but every one of them that I know of in the Bible, their downfall was women. I'm not necessarily blaming the women, but you look at the relationship that Jacob had with his wives. One of his wives got so upset because she couldn't have children. She looked at Jacob and said, "Give me children or I die." I mean, she's so jealous of her sister because of her sister was having children that it caused strife in the home and it caused problems in the home. You look at David and the problems in his children because of his multiple wives. Solomon, the wisest man to walk this earth, whose heart got taken away from God, because of women. You look at Abraham and the problems that we have in the world today now because Abraham had listened to his wife, and when he knew that God had gave him a promise. And so, listen, that's, I'm not necessarily blaming the women. I'm telling you, I believe the men's just as responsible. But he says here, even through all this, Noah still finds grace to take a stand for God.
Amen.
He said in verse number 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. It tells me that even in dark days that there's grace. That there's grace to stand for God. That no matter what's coming our way. No matter what the government or anything else comes our way. There's still the grace to stand for God. There's still the ability to stand up for God for right and wrong in a dark day and time. Listen, I've known people. Listen to that. Have gone to school, even in public school Christians, that have stood for God and done what's right. I remember in high school, this is funny, this is one of the things that really affected me when I came to be saved. There was one little girl in our class that stood up for what was right. We were in a class, I think it was civil law. One of our football coaches taught it, and I cussed like a sailor, and he cussed like a sailor, and we all talked with foul mouths. Well, about a week into the class, maybe 2 weeks in, he said, "You know what? I want to apologize." He said, "Because I know that I do say some language that some people don't agree with." He said, "I just want to ask a question. Is there anybody in here that's offended of the language of cussing?" That one little girl, her name's Nicole, stuck up her hand and said, "I'm a Christian, and it offends me, that kind of language." It is possible to take a stand, even in this day and time. My brother-in-law is 22 years old. He took a stand, and he lived, and he's still doing right. He served God. Had it coming from a home where his mama's dead, been dead since 2010. His daddy don't go to church, don't want nothing to do with God. But because we took him to church, he's saved tonight. And in our church, leading the music at Fundamental Baptist Tabernacle in Lexington, North Carolina. Because we took a stand, and he saw a difference in our life, and he was able to take a stand in public school. Noah was able, even though he's the only one in the world, was still able to take a stand.
Amen.
Hey, we're not taking a stand alone, brother.
Yeah.
I mean, we're 45 minutes, 35, 40 miles away from each other. We're not alone like Noah was.
Right.
If Noah can take a stand, sure as the world we can.
Right.
I don't know how many people lived on the world at the time. I've heard all these different estimations how many people could have lived during Noah's time, been alive during that time. I know one thing for sure, that I'm about 99% sure that he was at a whole lot better, worse odds than we are.
Yeah.
And he was still able to take that stand.
Yeah.
He saw things. Listen, the things that we're around, I know it's getting pretty perverse, and I know it's getting pretty bad. But Noah still took a stand when nobody else wanted to with him.
Right.
All he had was this wife. Hey, that's why it's important to have a wife that's willing to support you and help you. You don't need somebody else beating you down and somebody else bringing you down. All he had at one point was him and his wife when he's 500 years old. I don't know how exactly old it says when he's 500 years old. Noah had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So for some time, he stood by himself alone, him and his wife, and he was still able to stand through all that. Even in dark days, he had the grace of God to stand and to walk with God. Ephesians chapter number 6 tonight says, Ephesians chapter number 6. Hey, I think God tries to give us a hint here in Ephesians 6 when he talks about the armor of God. Ephesians 6 verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand. He doesn't say to retreat. He doesn't say even sometimes you're not even going to be able to move forward. Sometimes you're going to feel like you just at a standstill. All you can do is stand still, just like the children of Israel, standing there on the bank, waiting for God to split the sea open. He said that you'll stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. I think he's telling us something here. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. He says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, but all take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so he's telling us here, hey, you're going to have to stand. And sometimes you may even feel like you're the only one taking a stand. But the good thing is we're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even when you feel like you're alone, you still have the Lord and you got grace.
Amen.
You may be in a school by yourself. You may be in a school by yourself. I'm honest with you. I did not get saved until I was 18 years old. There was a couple of girls that in all the school I went to, what would be considered a small school in North Carolina. There was about 600 and some people in the school, high school I went to in North Carolina. But I can remember there was a couple of girls that actually took stands. There was one girl, now she was Pentecostal, the only girl in the whole school that I ever saw that never wore anything but skirts. She had standards. I don't know if she was saved, but she took a stand in her dress standards and never compromised.
Amen.
The other girl was raised in a Christian home. She had gone to a Christian school, Independent Baptist Church, raised in that till I think middle school, high school, when she came into public school. I don't know why her parents sent her into public school at the worst time possible. But I'll tell you what, it was a light to a lot of us in a dark and dying world. Hey, I can still remember the stands that she took. And I told her one time, I think me and my wife was married when I finally saw her for the first time after I got saved. And I said, I just want to let you know, I remembered. I told her that story about her taking that stand. She said, I don't remember it. I said, but it was enough that it lasted in my life, that now 22 years after graduation, I've never forgotten that she
Amen.
Took that stand.
Amen.
It affected me. When I got saved, I had a foul mouth, a dirty mind, and I can remember that God brought me back to that and brought that back to my mind, that girl took a stand in class when everybody else was mocking her and making fun of her. When she raised her hand, I joined right in with the rest of them. We all began to make fun of her and laugh at her because she took a stand that, hey, she don't like, I don't like hearing it now because I'm saved.
Yeah.
I don't like hearing that filthy language
sure.
and dirty
right.
mouth. I don't like it because I'm saved. But I'm thankful that there's been people in my life that have taken a stand. You may think, well, it don't make a difference. But I'm telling you what, it'll make a difference in somebody's life.
Amen.
I don't know what it was that took and got Brother Joe exactly didn't come to church to begin with, but somebody did enough in his life. He saw something that he wanted or something different that he desired and made him come to church and get saved. And listen, there's others that have done the same thing, but through our life, Lord, I am thankful in my 22 years. That's not been as many people as I wanted to see get saved. Come this November, I've been saved 22 years. I was thankful. I don't know about you, brother, but I kept track. I was thankful when I got saved at 18. I was thankful when I hit that 18-year mark. I got saved at 18, but I got my birthday's in June, so I counted up, and when I finally had more days for the Lord than I had for Satan, so thankful.
Amen.
And some people may never get to do that, but I did. I got to think, man, praise God. My wife just got a couple more years. She got saved at 22 years old. So come this November, she'll have been saved for 22 years. And so she's got just about another year, and she'll have been saved as long as what she served the devil.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know some people may not ever get to see that, but I'm thankful in 22 years that I've gotten to see some be saved. I've gotten to see some that are in church. I get to see, hey, I've taken a stand on the job site. I've taken when I've been mocked. I remember one time, more than once, but I was told when I was in my early 20s, I was on the job site. I was a commercial electrician. I've worked job sites. I've been cussed out. I've been made fun of. I've been mocked as, you know, I don't know what it's like as a teenager, as a child to have that, but I know what it's like as an adult. I had one man, he was a grown man, had been retired from AT&T, and I was working with him, and I witnessed to him and talked to him. He was a Yankee, poor guy. And And I was talking to him one day about the Lord, and I think I was 20 or 21 years old. I had to be 21 at the time, because I didn't start until I was 20, and so I didn't end up over at that building until I was about 21, 22. But anyway, I was talking to him one day about the Lord, and you know what he told me? He said, when you get a little bit of age on you, you'll change.
Oh, yeah.
When you get a little more age, a little bit more maturity, you'll change. You won't keep this mess up going the rest of your life. Hey, it's only got better and better and sweeter and sweeter in the 22 years. I've only got more and more strict and more and more closer to the Lord. I want to be holy. I want to be righteous. Not because I'm trying to impress anybody, but because I want to draw closer to my Savior so that I can stand against the wiles of the devil. So I can stand against the things that come in my life. Because, hey, you may be the one that somebody else is watching. There's a preacher. This happened right before we came out here, about 6 months before we came out here. There's a preacher that we know there in North Carolina that was pastoring a little church. And he told the story. Him and his wife owned a little diner. And he had a man came in there one day. And he said, I just want you to know. He said, I'm watching you. He said, I've been watching you for years. He said, and you're real. And that preacher stood in the pulpit when he was telling about this, and he said, I want y'all to know, I had no idea who this man was.
Wow.
But this man had been watching him and told him he'd been watching him for years and said, what you got is something real.
Amen.
You just never know. I tell you, you never know who's watching you, who's seeing how you act, whether it's real or not in your life. And it's going to be making the difference in somebody's life. So stand. We do have the grace, even in dark times, to stand with God. We're not alone. Thank goodness. I don't know if you got, I can't wait. Did you get your letter, your thing? I got mine in the mail this week for the camp meeting.
No.
You didn't check the mail. That's what it was, bro. Listen, the camp meeting's coming up. If you need some help and encouragement, man, you go to that camp meeting, you go get back energized, and you get fired up, and it's a help and encouragement to know we're not alone in this.
Amen.
And we can stand for the Lord.
Amen.
There's a couple men, I don't know whether you know what your opinion is on, but I remember there at the house on Brother Ron Beatty's station, I think it was, that Bob Jones Sr. used to come on, and he'd say, do right, do right, do right. It's never wrong to do right. Though the stars fall from heaven, it's never wrong to do right. There's a man that used to be in the Southern Baptist, Adrian Rogers, and I heard him say one time on the radio, he said, it's better to stand alone in truth than with the multitude in lies.
Amen. Amen.
Well, that's the absolute truth. Hey, that's sometimes the way it's going to feel, that you're the only one standing in truth. But we're not alone. Whether you think anybody else is standing or not, the Lord's standing with you. Because here comes the next one. I like this. I don't know how many of y'all know this story. Listen, we've got the grace to stand. We got the grace against unknown numbers. He says here in verse number 12 of Genesis chapter 6, and the Lord looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And so listen, even against unreal odds, unreal numbers, Noah was able to stand, and we can too. I love this. 2 Kings chapter number 6. I love this story. I never hear anybody really talk about it much, but 2 Kings chapter number 6, the prophet here, Elisha. 2 Kings chapter number 6, skip on down to verse number 13. We've got somebody that's going to stand with us against unreal numbers. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13, and he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my Savior, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Could you imagine standing there? That servant's going, No matter how you do it, there's just two of them there standing. But he couldn't see what God was fixing to do and what God was going to do there. Hey, there's more that be for us than against us. No matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, God's for us, who can be against us. I've already read the end of it, brother. We already, hey, it's coming soon. After 21 years, I'm going on 22 years of salvation, I know that our coming, or the Lord's coming is upon us. It's closer now than it was 21 years ago. I know that. But I can tell you everything's being set up in order right now. If you're not watching, hey, I know that some people get discouraged watching news, and I agree with you. If you don't want to watch it, I understand that. But you watch now there. You'll see in the next couple months, they're already pushing forward. They're trying to push for a cashless society, which is exactly what's setting up. And I'm not trying to get loud on that. I'm telling you, they are pushing for it because they're trying to devalue our dollar right now. They've already made it worthless.
We're
in the midst of inflation. I don't know if y'all realize this. I mean, I know that my children have gotten bigger, but in the last 3 years since we moved here, our food bill's gone up $300 a month. I know they're eating more, but Brother Joe's feeding one of them so much, and we're still going up $300 a month. Bree eats, and she's at the diner, she gets to eat for free, and it's still, our food bill's going up $300. Our gas bill is going. And you got lunatics out there saying, well, you're whining about $5 a gallon gas or $4 a gallon gas, go buy the $80,000 Tesla.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Some people just, they ain't got sense enough to come out of the rain. I mean, that's where we're at. And that's what's running the country. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
The devil knows what he's doing. He's destroying this country.
Right.
He's just setting this place up for the one world government, for what's fixing to happen. They're already now talking about a food shortage, which I think that's what's leading into it. They already showed everything during COVID. I mean, they were locking in New Mexico. They were locking people out of grocery stores in New Mexico. If this store had too many COVID cases, they locked it down. This is how your government works. This town has a bunch of COVID cases, so we're going to lock down the grocery store and send them all up to La Crosse. That's your government for you.
Yeah.
That's the stupidity of the government. This town has a bunch of cases, so let's lock down the grocery store and send everybody up the road.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, we've had it twice. I'm not saying it's not real. Trust me, we've had it. Brother Joe, he almost died, but he wanted to be baptized so bad. He came, my wife, we baptized him. We missed it 1 week. We was going to set up, and he ended up with COVID, and he was all upset. We had to change it, but he wanted to be baptized, so he came in the next week, didn't he? Tell me how bad he was, and I baptized him. And Monday morning, found out he had double pneumonia. My wife said, "You've killed Brother Joe. He's got double pneumonia. You gave him." I said, "You don't get double pneumonia for being baptized, okay?" I dunked him. I didn't hold him under, okay? But he knew he wanted to be baptized. I know that it's real.
Amen.
He wasn't that bad for us. The second time we had it back in January this year, we were over it in no time. But I had a lingering, messed up my lungs this time. I know it's real, but do you watch everything that they've done during all this to take control? Look at that man up there in Canada and how he's run over those people. And, well, we believe in democracy. It's amazing to me. They're all right now. Listen, I try not to get political too much, but I do sometimes. You got an idiot up here and the whole government up here in the Washington running this country that won't lock down our border and protect our border, but they're wanting to send people over there to Ukraine. I don't know. People get mad because I'm just not taking a side. Listen, I'm worried about our country. If the European people aren't enough worried about protecting Ukraine, why should I be when our country's being invaded? And I understand people wanting a better living. My family did too. In the 1700s, my family came over here and I learned English. My family's of German descent. I don't speak German. My family assimilated into this country and learned English. And we have been here for 300 years. The least y'all can do is the same thing. I understand people wanting a better life. You know, it's our country's so great, brother, the people that hate it won't even leave it.
Yeah, you're right.
That's how, you know how great America is? The people that hate it won't leave it. That's how great our country is. You know, if they believe Canada's so great, why don't you go on up there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for those people up there. But listen, we're against unnumbered foes. I mean, they're against him. He says in verse number 17, he said, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may say, see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. God's going to take care of his. God's going to. I don't want the martyr's crown, brother. But if God wants me to have it, then so be it. I'll take it. But I don't believe in the day and time we live in right now that God's wanting you to die for him. He just wants you to live for him.
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
We're not in that time anymore. We could come back to it before. I don't know if the Lord calls us on. But I believe right now he's just looking for you to live for him in front of people. I'm working on one right now, brother. I've been chewing on this message, and you can take this thought. You notice how a lot of times, we always wonder why things get worse and worse. Look at Egypt. God let it get worse for the children of Israel before he delivered them out of there. Yeah. They were begging and crying for deliverance. Yeah. Crying for deliverance. God said deliverance. Things got a little bit worse for just a little bit. Oh, Lord, how could you do this to us? Ain't that how people are? People are just, we're so hypocritical. This is one thing I've noticed too, brother, that our country's full of people that want everything for free except for salvation.
Yeah.
It's the one thing that people want to earn themselves. Yeah. They actually want to pay their way into heaven, or they want to work their way into heaven. They want to go to church and do good works to get into heaven. That's the only thing that seems like that people want to, they'll do religion like crazy to get themselves into heaven.
Yeah.
You're telling them there's a free gift that God's given, and the Bible plainly says in the book of Romans, it's a free gift. Right. Well, I don't want to do it like that. I don't care what the hell you're going to do it like that. That's the only way you're going to do it. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. That's it. No, that don't do it all but by me. You won't get there through works. You won't get through there by loving people, being faithful to church, by being a church member, by playing the piano, singing. None of that stuff's going to get you there. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. But that's the way people are. They'll want everything for a handout. Try to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're like, well, I don't want that. I'd rather do it myself. Me and God got this thing worked out. I'm not saying I can't be shocked, but in 21 years of being saved, I've heard some doozies. My wife and I, there's a lady up in our county. She's a faithful Catholic lady. She's faithful to the Catholic Church. She does a lot to the Catholic Church there in Leventhal. My wife asked her one day, said, how do you think that you get to heaven? She said, well, I'll be honest with you. She said, I think when you die, God's going to give you three chances to accept him. My wife said, that's not what the Catholic Church believes or teaches. Yeah. She said, well, I know, but that's what I believe. And my wife's like, well, wait a minute here. You're a devout Catholic. You're faithful to the Catholic Church. She goes to all this, and this is what you believe. So it lets me know that even people could be sitting in a Baptist church and still hang on to things.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've heard it. There was a young lady in our church, and she's saved now. But she told my wife was teaching the teenage girl Sunday school class at that time. I was teaching the teenage boy Sunday school at that time. And my wife said, I want to hear all of you's testimony. This was a young girl, I think she was 16 years old at the time. My wife got to her and said, what's your testimony? You know, I want to hear your testimony. I won't call her name. She said, well, when I was a child, I climbed up in Daddy's lap, and he read the Bible to me, and I just knew everything's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh,
and my wife come to me, she was like, what did I do? I said, just pray for her. Just pray for her. That's all we can do. About 2 months later, she finally walked the aisle and got saved. Maybe less than that. But yet, lets me know. Even this girl's raised in church, in an independent Baptist church. She was raised in church, 16 years old, had no idea what biblical salvation was. That goes with that verse where the God of this world had blinded the eyes and the minds of the people. Hey, even people sitting in church can be blinded.
You're right.
Even though they hear the sermon, I'm talking about her family, her mom and daddy brought her to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, were faithful, and at 16 years old, could not even give a biblical testimony of salvation. We're against unreal odds. You better understand that. We're against unreal numbers. You better be willing to take a stand, but there's grace for both of them. There's grace to stand. There's grace against those unreal numbers. Number three, there's grace. I like this, verse 22. Of chapter, what did I say? Oh, I'm in the wrong book. Genesis chapter number 6, verse 22. there's grace to see it through to the end.
Amen.
Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. I know that times are looking tough. I know the things. You're not going to tell me, man. I feel like I'm joking around, and I say it, and I know some people say you should say it, but I'm serious sometimes, just joking around. But I feel like going back to 2020. 2022 has been miserable for me.
Yeah.
It's just been rough. It's been rough on the people there. It's been rough on me. I just feel like, man, I feel like I've gone about 10 to 12 rounds with Mike Tyson at his young age. I mean, that's how I feel. I've been beat down, and it just seems like it's one thing after another. You get one fire put out, and another one pops up. I can't put them out fast enough. Kind of, it's like the wildfires out here in Kansas. I mean, it's just like as soon as they get one put out, I'm like, who keeps burning stuff that they keep having all these wildfires? Where are you getting these wildfires from? But they get one put out, and another one pops up.
Yeah.
The winds are blowing through.
Right.
You finally get some people coming and some others quit. And it's like, Lord, I don't understand. But I believe God's given us the grace to see it through to the end.
Amen. Yes.
Not after 21 years, going on 22 years, I'm not quitting this close to the end.
Amen.
I can't do it. I like what Paul says. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Most of you know what this is. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. Paul said, 2 Timothy 4, 6 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." What does he say here? "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." I know it's been 2,000 years, right? Almost 2,000 years since Paul lived. But in the mind of God, it's just been 2 days. God give him the grace to see it through to the end. I wish, brother, I don't know about y'all, but I wish I could have testimony Paul had at that point. Yeah. He said, "I am clean with the blood of all men."
Yeah.
I can't say that.
No.
I can't say that. Paul told you, he said, I have not ceased to warn every one of you with night and day with tears for the space of 3.5 years. Paul's warned them. He said, "I'm clean the blood of all." I wish I could have those kinds of testimonies that Paul had. You know, we talk about, I believe, outside the Lord Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, I believe Paul's the next greatest preacher in the New Testament. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Some think, you know, because Peter got to preach on the day of Pentecost, I understand that, and things that Peter got to do, I understand that. But I just feel like Paul, man, just seeing so much. He shows. He said, "I didn't do anything." I'm going to paraphrase it. You look at it. He said, "I didn't do anything anybody else couldn't do. I just labored more abundantly in the grace of God." That's all he said. "I've labored more abundantly in the grace of God." He didn't do anything we can't do ourselves. Again, we've gotten our day of time, and I've been saved now 21 years, and it was hard for me at one point. I finally came to the realization, brother. Whether Joe would have ever accepted the Lord or not is not on me.
Right.
My job is not to make somebody be saved or receive Christ. My job is to give them the truth, to bear the seed. "He that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves." It's not my responsibility. I'm not forcing professions out of nobody just to make other people feel good or fill a quota or anything like that. I'm not doing it.
Right.
I've done seen other people that have been led in this 1, 2, 3 repeat after me mess, and now they're out in the world twice as bad as they were before, lost and on the road to hell. Mm-hmm. It's not my job. I've said this, and I think I've said it here too. According to today's standards, Noah was a complete failure.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonah was a complete success.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jonah hated his converts.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Noah would have loved every one of them that would have got in that boat.
You're right.
If any of them would have. Jonah hated his. He appears to be a racist to me. He hated them Ninevites even after. Can you imagine, brother? Can you imagine winning people to the Lord and winning this? Can you imagine this whole town, man, winning this whole town to the Lord and then sitting up on a hill waiting for them to die?
Being mad at God
because he didn't wipe them out after you won them to the Lord?
Yeah.
I mean, my mind was thinking, how did you be that way? Yeah, I mean, what it would be like to win, I have a citywide revival of that size, and then I sit up on the hill and say, all right, Lord, I see it. Come on. That's what Jonah thought. Noah saw it through all the way. He said, it says, did all that the Lord had told him to do all the way to the end. You and I can do the same thing. I won't be found faithful when he comes back.
Amen.
I've got people that I love that have unfortunately gone to the wayside. One of the men, my wife knows this, and Brother Joe's heard the story, one of the men that prayed for me, his family was instrumental in me getting in church and being saved, passed away last year while we were here, out of God's will, got out of church. Man that I loved, I've got a bunch of his books sitting on my shelf in my library. He loved the Lord. He got discouraged because men of God doing things, going by the wayside,
yeah.
And he got out of church. But you know that saying's true? God won't get glory out of your life, he'll get out of your death. He died out of God's will. I believe saved, I believe he's with the Lord right now.
Yeah.
But he wasn't serving God when he died. But through his death, his wife finally got saved.
Amen.
It's in church.
Amen.
And his children are back in church where they need to be. See, if you won't live for God, God will take care of that. And God will see it through. God will. I'm telling you, I'm thankful that his wife finally got saved. But it's sad that's what it took.
Yeah.
It's sad it took him being taken out of this world at a young age. This is how close. His sister is the one that handles our money.
Wow.
For us. That's how close, even through the years. That hurt his family still is to us. His family is very close to me. I keep in contact. Like I said, his sister's the one that handles our money. And I love him. I hated that it happened. But thank God that his wife finally got saved, and sometimes that's what it takes. If you won't take that stand, God will get glory out of your life if you can't get it out of God will get glory out of your death if you can't get out of your life.
Yeah.
What does it say here though? Chapter 7 here. Let me finish up with this. I can't wait to hear this right here, brother. It's coming. Chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Hey, soon that trumpet's going to blow. I don't know when. I'm not going to do it in a day or an hour or even a year. But I do believe it's soon. You're seeing everything. Look at everything that is predicted in the Bible about being able to communicate. It said that the two prophets that will be killed, the whole world would have been able to watch. All that stuff was not possible until this day and time.
Right. Right.
Our previous pastor that's unfortunately he's out of church right now and out of God's will. He's one of them that's gone by the wayside. Went over to the Philippines years ago. And he came back and told us, he said, they're living in mud huts, no doors, no windows, but they all got cell phones and they all got televisions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about in the Philippines at that time. That was 10 years ago. Slowly but surely, everybody's getting phones. I remember a few years back, it's probably getting close to 10 years now, that 90% plus of teenagers had cell phones. And their biggest push then at that point was 7 to 11-year-olds. 12 to 18-year-olds, 90-some% of them had cell phones. And they were trying, the cell phone companies were marketing specially to try to get 11 to 7-year-olds. How many of you see now? I mean, we see kids. I'm like, you don't need a cell phone.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
right. Well, I need to get in touch with my parents. Where? You can't go nowhere. They're destroying their own kids and they don't
know. You're right. That's exactly right.
Those things are dangerous.
Yes, sir.
Those things are dangerous. And the garbage that's going on now. Hey, but like I said, just like Noah heard, come on, come thou. Hey, one day, real soon, come up hither.
Yeah.
It's going to be over.
Yeah.
In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain coming of the day of the Lord shall be called up to Him to meet Him in the clouds. I know that one song, that the roll that's called up yonder, I think it is. It says we'll meet the Lord on that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ. That's not biblical. That's why I tell people, I said, listen, I love good Christian songs. I love hymns. But just remember, the Bible's right. And songs are wrong. There's some songs that sound good.
Right.
You know, on that bright and cloudless morning. But the Bible says we're going to meet in the clouds. So how can it be a cloudless day? I don't remember we're finally getting to stand on a cloud, brother. Can you imagine that? You know those dreams you have as a kid, standing on a cloud. Well, I don't know. But I know what's coming.
Yeah.
If you're not ready, you better be.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen soon. He said, just as a thief. It's amazing how I kind of don't like it, but it's what the Lord said. He said He's coming as a thief in the night. What a weird thing for the Lord to describe coming and taking us out here to that of a thief in the night. Something that you know, you're thinking, I don't want that to happen. I wouldn't want a thief coming to my house. And that's why a lot of people are. I'm not ready for the Lord. I don't want Him to come back. He's coming back whether you like or not.
Yeah.
You should be ready. If you're here tonight, you're not saved, you'll come to this altar and ask the Lord to save you. Hey, there's grace to stand even in dark days. There's grace in the dark days against the unknown numbers. There's grace to see it all the way to the end.
Amen.
Paul did. We can too. If we'll just continue in the word of the Lord. Let's all stand. My Heavenly Father, thank You for the opportunity, God, and thank You for the story of Noah, Lord. A man against unreal numbers, God. Lord, we can't even begin to imagine, Lord, how many. God continued to take a stand. Lord, with only his family with him, Lord, walked onto that ark by faith, knowing that what You had told him to do. Lord, may we take that stand and, Lord, stay faithful to the end. Help us now, I pray, through the Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.